From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Over the past few months, I've learned a few things about living in Georgia. Being called ma'am is not an insult. Every carbonated drink is a Coke, and spending a Saturday between the hedges does not mean doing yard work. Football is in the blood, and Frank Sonny Seiler bleeds red and black. Sonny is a double dog. He got his undergraduate and law degrees from the University of Georgia, but he is best known as the owner of Ugga, the white English bulldog that is the mascot for UGA. There's actually been a series of 10 Uggas.
Okay, was this the original Ugga? With these cheerleaders? Looks like could be from the 50s.
That's the original Ugga, the big one up there top. And that's Coach Wally Butts in the background up on the right.
My colleague Sarah Shariari and I visited Sonny in the genteel Savannah suburb where he and his assistant, Betty Ford, yes, Betty Ford, were clearing out office files. Sonny was a successful lawyer and famously a character in John Barrett's best-selling nonfiction book, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, which we will get to. But first, I asked him about the origins of Ugga.
I had just gotten married, 1955. And I had a job in the athletic department selling tickets in my first year in law school. I would go there every afternoon, sell tickets if I could. We weren't very good in those days. Didn't sell a lot of tickets, but it was a good job for me, and I needed a job like that we did. It was good.
Newly married and with a baby on the way, fate called on Sonny Seiler by way of his mother-in-law. And this, by the way, dispels the legend that the dog was given to his wife, the former Cecilia Gunn, by an old boyfriend, as an insult to Sonny.
Cecilia's mother called us and said that a friend of Cecilia's in Columbus, where she was from, wanted to give us a white English bulldog as a wedding present. Well, we could hardly feed ourselves, but we couldn't turn that down, so we accepted. And when we went and picked the dog up, he didn't look anything like I figured he would look. He was tall and gangly, and he hadn't filled out, but we took him anyway. That was in April. By September, he had filled out, and he looked great. He looked like the hood on a Mack truck, really. Big, broad shoulders, big head. Cecilia went down to Penny's and bought a size 8 red child's t-shirt and put some elastic in the legs and around the waist, and she cut a black G out of felt and sewed it on. And he looked like a mascot. Well, the first game that year was with FSU, of all teams. We took the dog over to the Sigma Chi house. And, he made a hit over there because everybody was hooted up with iced tea, you know. So somebody said, let's take him to the game. Let's take the dog to the game. Everybody said, take him to the game. So we took him to the game, not on the field, not trying to invade into anything, but took him up in the stands, and he attracted a lot of attention. What's more, we won the game. We beat FSU.
The next day, Sonny went to pick up his tickets to sell and found a note which said,
Coach Butts wants to see you in his office immediately. Well, I said, oh my God, you know, I can't lose this job. I didn't know what I'd done. His office was right over mine in old Stegman Hall. And I knocked on the door. He was over there looking out of the window. And he says, come in, Sonny. He says, Dan tells me you got a English Bulldog might make us a good mascot. What do you say? Let us use him. Mike died. We don't have a mascot, and I don't seem to be affording much entertainment. You know, what am I going to say? I said, of course, Coach, if you think he can help our program. He said, good. Have him at every game. He turned around and went back to looking out the window. That's the way he was. So we took him to every game. Now, he has missed some games. Not many.
Did you feel like you had to carry this on after?
He said have him at every game. And I had 2 more years in law school. And, it's not the worst job in the world. But I didn't know that it'd ever get to what it is now.
Does he fly first class?
He goes with the team. Wherever the team goes, we go. And if the team flies, we fly. Unless it's a short trip. They're all good travelers. They're all well cared for and well taught, well trained, and we've never had any real trouble with them. We've had some interesting experiences with them, but never any real trouble with them.
I promise we'll get to that, but first a little background into life as Uga. He's kind of jet set. Home games in Athens, he's got a suite at the Georgia Center. Yes, a suite. 3 bedrooms and a sitting room. There are lots of paparazzi shots. He travels in his own vehicle, and there are a lot of other high-ticket perks. But lest you forget that he is a dog, here's a story from a day that Sonny's daughter Swan was minding Uga.
I don't know whether you've ever been up to the skyboxes in Sanford Stadium, but they're quite nice.
I have not.
And only the elite go up there, and it costs a good bit of money to be involved in that club. And at halftime, they serve scrumptious hot lunches. But we would take Uga up there, particularly in the early games, and let him walk up and down and cool off, because great air conditioning up there. And it gave those people an opportunity to see him close up. Well, they never have that opportunity, sitting down in regular stands. So she took him up this day. Well, at the far end of the hall, the Georgia alumni has a suite of its own where we can entertain people at football games, and we do. And so Swan was on her way down there with the dog to start taking him back to the field. Well, right ahead of Swan was a caterer pushing a steel cart down the hall to go into one of the skyboxes and feed the multitude. Well, on the bottom shelf of that cart was an open pan of beef tenderloin with demi-glace sauce, right even with you-know-who's head. So he did what any dog would do. When presented with such an opportunity, he stuck his head in and got himself a big mouthful. And the caterer caught him and hit him with the towel, cussed him out. He didn't care. He had his. And then suddenly, listen to this part. Swan got the dog away from there. Everybody was laughing and carrying on. The caterer takes a fork, smooths the tray of beef bouillon over.
No, he didn't.
And he pushes it on into the skybox to serve lunch. We don't tell who's skybox now. But that was a very funny experience.
Swan and son Charles have picked up the family tradition, or leash, as the case may be. Charles has had the last 3 dogs, 7, 8, and 9. Uga 10 lives with Charles now, which is why you don't hear an English bulldog in this scene, just the occasional chimes marking the passage of time.
You said you never suspected that this was going to happen, this Uga phenomenon. But what has it brought to you in your life?
A lot of fun and notoriety, but the notoriety's all been good. Got to see a lot of football games that I wouldn't have seen otherwise. We ride to the games in a Suburban, red Suburban, that opens up in the back. His kennel will get in there, and he's cool. His greatest problem is heat, because it's a respiratory thing with English bulldogs. They pant a lot, and that causes them to suck in impurities, which leads to sore throat, which leads to God knows what. If you don't catch it in time, it can be bad. But all of that's behind us now. Thank you.
You've seen quite a few of them come and go. That must be...
Well, this is 10.
This is number 10. I don't know. It must be hard that in this position, you lose a dog and you know, okay, I have to get another English bulldog.
No, not quite. When we can, we anticipate that we'll need another one. And it's not necessarily because they're in bad health, but maybe they're just getting too old to do the deal. Because when they get about 8 years old, they lose a lot of that energy that made them so attractive. We don't retire at that age, but we have retired a dog when he was too old to go anymore. We had a good puppy in the wings waiting. So, you know, we don't have to go shopping around. We've been caught off base like 7 and 8. But we had looked ahead, and we knew what we were going to do.
Not a bad life for a dog, even if you have to, you know, steal tenderloin every now and again.
Well, if he's given a chance.
Sonny does not want to talk about breeding dogs or selling puppies, which he emphatically denies. He says first, he's a pet owner, and Ugga has for years been voted the top mascot in college football by fans and by Sports Illustrated, among other publications. The ranch house we visited was once the Seiler family home, and the walls are covered. It's like a museum of Ugga, plastered with photographs. In addition to introducing Uggas, Sonny had a long career as a lawyer, a really famous lawyer who defended prominent antiques dealer Jim Williams, accused of murdering his gay lover. It's the basis of the mega-selling novel Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. That 1994 novel covered four murder trials running over 8 years. The case stunned Savannah and was a boon for tourists looking for eccentric characters and sights portrayed in it.
Well, you are beloved as the man who brings Ugga to games and has for decades now. How about as a lawyer? Famously written about in the book by John Berendt that has done a lot for Savannah in many ways.
I'm glad you recognize that, because I think the city may have dropped the ball there and not given it the real credit, or John Berendt the credit that he deserved. But they realize that now, and they're trying to make up for it. You can find people that like the book and people don't like the book. People like the movie and they don't like the movie. But you can find out about any movie. But this was a special movie done by Clint Eastwood with a wonderful cast. The book still has the record on the New York Times bestseller list.
Did you like how you were portrayed in the book? Did you feel like it was accurate?
Yeah, it was just a lawyer doing a job. But yeah, they didn't do anything bad to me or any of the lawyers that I remember. And in the movie, that was a lot of fun. I was hoping I could get in on a jury. That's what I wanted to do.
You were in the movie, right, as a judge?
Yeah, but Clint Eastwood tabbed me to be the judge, and I enjoyed that because all that was shot out in Hollywood.
Mr. Tucker, did you ever have sex with Billy?
No, sir.
Are you yourself a homosexual?
Objection. Relevance?
Mr. Largent, you open that door. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. I'm gonna let it in.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I wanted to be on the jury to say after 8 years we find the defendant not guilty. I figured I could get the jury to let me do that, but Mr. Eastwood had other plans.
It's ironic that given that so many films are made here and the sense of place in that movie is so strong that it was made in Hollywood instead of Savannah.
Just certain parts of it. All of the parts from the courtroom were made out there, and they built the courtroom, which was fantastic. I told Mr. Eastwood, I said, you know, this courtroom is better than most of the courtrooms we practice in, and it was.
What was it like for you going through the filming of this to relive these trials that were such a big part of your life?
Well, it had been a long time now, and I'd gotten so used to it that it certainly didn't bother me at all, and it entertained me a lot. The cast was wonderful.
How did you like the portrayal of you?
Jack Thompson was excellent actor and still is, I think. Hope he's still around. He's from Australia.
Is he as good a lawyer as you are?
I don't know. We never have battled.
You said that Savannah kind of missed the boat on that book, at least initially.
They did.
Well, how so? What didn't they get about it? They didn't capitalize on it?
You just said it. And if they did, it was the wrong way. They didn't flip it right, as they say now, you people.
For me, lived up in New England when I read it, New York maybe. Yeah, New York when I read it. And I thought, wow, this is a fantastic, mysterious, character-rich place. So in many ways, there are people who consider that book to be almost the caricature of the South, the Southern Gothic.
Well, you know, the people that don't like it now are people who feel that they're their oxes in the ditch. It depends on, you know, what, how you look at life and how you looked at what the happening. But when the book was first published, it was very unpopular here, and it drew a lot of criticism, and the newspapers didn't do much to quiet that. They grabbed that ball and ran with it.
People were upset that, what, the secrets were being told, that there were, you know, characters like, what was it, Lady Chablis? Is that the name of the drag queen?
The drag queen, the lady, she didn't know Jim, and Jim didn't know her. I'll tell you that right now.
Really?
They never met. She was a delight to talk to, and was a character, part of Savannah's fabric.
What is it that makes Savannah the place for you, where you settled and live?
I was born here. Never left,
Tommy. Well, people do move.
Yeah, well, I've been around a little, but I always like to come back to Savannah. I understand the people here. I understand the town.
Sonny Siler, thank you so much for speaking with us.
All right. I'm glad you can edit that thing there.
Sonny Siler, Savannah resident, lawyer, UGA Bulldogs fan, and dog owner currently of UGA 10. UGA, by the way, is the only major college that buries its mascots within the confines of the stadium. So UGA will be there in person, and many others in spirit, when UGA faces the University of Florida on Saturday. I cannot tell you how to bet on the game, but one tip, don't order the tenderloin. Music in this segment from the UGA Redcoat Marching Band. And next Friday, we're going to launch an on-air book club. We'll discuss for colored girls who have considered politics. And we would love it if you could read along and join in the conversation. This is On Second Thought.